Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that to be saved, in order to be forgiven of one's sins, one must obey God in baptism. As we think about the subject of baptism, 1 Peter 3:21 makes it crystal clear. Peter said, baptism does now also save us. In fact, Jesus taught that a person can't get in the kingdom without being baptized. In John 3, verse 5, Jesus said, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Saul was told in Acts 22, verse 16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. With so much evidence on baptism, why is it that people object to the subject of baptism? Why is it that people object to being baptized? Today we're going to think about objections to baptism, and we're going to answer those from the Scripture. Maybe you've heard some objections. Maybe you've read what the Scripture said, and then someone said, well, I know the Bible says that, but here's what we believe, or here's why we don't believe it or see it just like that. We're going to answer some of those objections today, and we hope you get your Bible out and follow along with us as we think about objections to baptism answered. What's one of the first objections? Oftentimes, when people hear the truth about baptism, they'll then throw up the objection, well, if that's the case, then you've made baptism into a work, and God says, we're saved by grace, not by works. How do we know that baptism is not a meritorious work? Friend, there are two different types of works in the Bible. There are conditional works that God sets forth that every person must do if he's going to be saved. And then there are works of merit that the Jews often threw up to Jesus, and Jesus condemned those types of works. For example, they said to Jesus, we're children of Abraham. And thus, they thought we automatically, because we're children of Abraham, we automatically are going to be right with God. And Jesus and John the Baptist both said, God's able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. Don't say to yourself, we're children of Abraham. That was a work of merit. Baptism is simply a work, a condition God has set forth. Now, how do we know that baptism is a work that we must do, but is a work that God is pleased with? It's just like belief. Those same people who say you can't do any works for salvation, they teach you've got to believe, don't they? Well, did you know belief is a work? Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. They said to Jesus, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, listen, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. If belief is a work, those same people who say you can't be baptized because it's a work condemn themselves because they teach you've got to believe. Well, just like believing, just like repenting, just like making the good confession, so one must be baptized. But we're not saying at the point of baptism we earn our salvation. Salvation is still a free gift of God. But there are things I must do to access that free gift, and baptism is one of those. Well, what's a second objection to baptism? So many people say baptism's not essential because we're justified by faith alone. Martin Luther popularized the idea that we're saved by faith alone. He would turn to passages like Romans 5 that teach the essentiality of faith and believing in God, but then he would overlook so many other passages. Here's what's amazing. Although millions of people have bought into the doctrine and the idea that to be saved, all you've got to do is have faith, and faith only, the Bible uses the words faith alone or faith only one time, and it says the exact opposite of what millions believe. Now listen carefully. Here's what Scripture says. the world and religious leaders will say, you're saved by faith alone. God uses that phrase one time in Scripture, and it is the exact opposite of what millions have been taught. Notice this passage, James chapter 2, verse 24 says this, you see then that a man is justified by works, and here it is, not by faith only. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. We're justified by works. Those are conditions we've got to meet, conditional works. And notice the emphasis, we're not saved by faith alone. Isn't it amazing that the only time God uses that phrase, God says the exact opposite of what millions have been taught. What is it that Jesus taught us? Look at Matthew 7:21. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, it's not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven to be saved. You've got to do what God says. You've got to obey His commands. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. Jesus asked the religious leader of His day, religious leaders of His day in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? And so, while some people have propagated and very popularly propagated the idea of faith alone as salvation, friends, you only see that one time. And God says the exact opposite. And so, it may be an objection people make, but you don't find that in the Bible. A third objection then to baptism is the old thief on the cross. In Luke chapter 23, Jesus said to the thief who had changed his way of thinking, changed his mindset about the Savior and evidently about eternity, Jesus said to the thief, this day you'll be with me in paradise. And so people often say, well, the thief, he wasn't a child of God, or the thief, he wasn't baptized, he was saved, and therefore I don't have to be baptized. You know what the problem is with this argument? There are two major problems. Number one, the thief on the cross is not a New Testament example of salvation. Hebrews 9 verses 15 through 17 teaches us that the new law begins after the death of Jesus. And yet the thief was saved on the Old Testament side of the cross. He's an example of Old Testament salvation. But here's the bigger problem. The whole argument is built on the supposition the thief was never baptized. How do we know that? How do we know the thief wasn't baptized? You don't. Matthew 3, verses 5 through 6 says, all Jerusalem, Judea, and the regions round about went out to John to be baptized. How do you know the thief wasn't one of those? And so when we think about the Bible teaching on baptism, it teaches us that baptism is essential to salvation. Have you obeyed God's teaching on salvation? If not, friend, don't listen to the objections. Listen to what God says. May God help each of us to submit to His will and to obey His plan of salvation.